The four elements that form Iceland's environment are volcanic fire, ice, water, and wind. Iceland lies in the North Atlantic Ocean about 600 miles west of Norway, on the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, where the American and Eurasian continental plates collide, and where volcanoes periodically rise from the ocean to build up chunks of new land, of which Iceland is the largest. On the average, at least one of Iceland's many volcanoes undergoes a major eruption every decade or two. Besides the volcanoes themselves, Iceland's hot springs and geothermal areas are so numerous that much of the country heats its houses not by burning fossil fuels, but just by tapping volcanic heat. The second element in Iceland's landscape is ice, which forms and remains as ice caps on much of Iceland's interior plateau, because it is at high elevation, just below the Arctic Circle, and hence, cold. Water falling as rain and snow reaches the ocean in glaciers, in rivers that periodically flood, and in occasional spectacular superfloods, when a natural dam of lava or ice across a lake gives way, or when a volcanic eruption under an ice cap suddenly melts a lot of ice. Finally, Iceland is also a very windy place. It is the interaction between these four elements of volcanoes, cold, water, and wind that has made Iceland so susceptible to erosion. When the first Viking settlers reached Iceland, its volcanoes and hot springs were strange sights, but otherwise the landscape looked familiar and encouraging. Almost all of the plants and birds belonged to familiar European species. The lowlands were mostly covered by low birch and willow forest that was easily cleared for pastures. In those cleared locations, in natural low-lying treeless areas such as bogs, and at higher elevations above timberline, the settlers found lush pasture grass, herbs, and moss, ideal for raising the livestock that they had already been raising in Norway and the British Isles. The soil was fertile, in some places up to 50 feet deep. Despite the high-altitude ice caps and the location near the Arctic Circle, the nearby Gulf Stream made the climate in the lowlands mild enough in some years to grow barley in the south. The lakes, rivers, and surrounding seas teemed with fish, seabirds, and ducks, while seals and walruses lived along the coast. But Iceland's apparent similarity to southwestern Norway and Britain was deceptive in three crucial respects. First, Iceland's shorter growing season made agriculture more marginal. Second, the ash that volcanic eruptions periodically ejected over wide areas poisoned fodder for livestock. The biggest set of problems that deceived the settlers involved differences between Iceland's soils and Norway's and Britain's soils. The settlers could not appreciate those differences partly because some of them are subtle, but also because one of those differences was invisible at first sight and would take years to appreciate. Namely, that Iceland's soils form more slowly and erode much more quickly than those of Norway and Britain. Unfortunately, while Iceland's soils and dense woodlands were impressive to the eye, they had accumulated very slowly. What is it that makes Iceland's soils so fragile and slow to form? A major reason has to do with their origin. In Iceland, frequent eruptions of volcanoes throw clouds of fine ash into the air. That ash includes light particles that strong winds proceed to carry over much of the country, resulting in the formation of an ash layer that can be as light as talcum powder. On that rich, fertile ash, vegetation eventually grows up, covering the ash and protecting it from erosion. But when that vegetation is removed, by grazing or by farmers burning it, the ash becomes exposed again. Because the ash was light enough to be carried by the wind in the first place, it is also light enough to be carried by the wind again. In addition to that wind erosion, Iceland's locally heavy rains and frequent floods also remove the exposed ash by water erosion, especially on steep slopes. Iceland's colonization began in earnest around the year 870 and virtually ended by the year 930, when almost all land suitable for farming had been settled or claimed. Most settlers came directly from western Norway, the remainder being Vikings who had already emigrated to the British Isles and married Celtic wives. Those settlers tried to recreate a herding economy similar to the lifestyle that they had known, and based on the same five barnyard animals, among which sheep eventually became by far the most numerous. Sheep milk was made into butter, cheese, and an Icelandic specialty called skyr, which is like a delicious thick yogurt. To make up the rest of their diet, Icelanders relied on wild game and fish. The breeding walrus colonies were quickly exterminated, and the breeding seabirds became depleted, leaving hunters to shift attention to seals. Eventually, the main source of wild protein became fish. Both the abundant trout, salmon, and char in lakes and rivers, and the abundant cod and haddock along the coast. Those cod and haddock were crucial in enabling Icelanders to survive the hard centuries of the Little Ice Age, and in driving Iceland's economy today. At the time that settlement began, one quarter of the island's area was forested. About 80% of that original woodland was cleared within the first few decades, and 96% as of modern times, thus leaving only 1% of Iceland's area still forested. Once the original trees had been removed, grazing by sheep prevented seedlings from regenerating. Iceland's highlands above the tree line, supporting natural grassland on fertile, shallow soil, were particularly attractive to the settlers, who didn't even have to clear trees there in order to create pastures. But the highlands were more fragile than the lowlands. Once the natural carpet of grassland had been cleared or browsed off, the soil was exposed to wind erosion. In addition, water running downhill could start to erode gullies into the now bare soil. But as a gully developed and as the water table dropped from the level of the top of the gully to the bottom, the soil dried out and became even more subject to wind erosion. Within a short time after settlement, the highlands became stripped of soil as well as of vegetation. The former grasslands of Iceland's interior became the desert that one sees today, and then large eroded areas started to develop in the lowlands as well. When the settlers finally realized what was happening, they did take corrective action. They stopped throwing away big pieces of wood, stopped keeping ecologically destructive pigs and goats, and abandoned much of the highlands. Groups of neighboring farms cooperated in jointly making decisions critical for preventing erosion, such as the decision about when in the late spring the grass growth warranted taking the sheep up to communally owned high-altitude mountain pastures for the summer, and when in the fall to bring the sheep back down.